Welcome back to the Spodcasters. Back in Lawrence, the damage was pretty bad. Tom, what'd you think? We were kind of out of town for all this action, and not a pretty sight when we got back.
No, I couldn't believe all the trees going down 19th Street and then going down Mass. I still haven't gone up Connecticut, which I hear is looks pretty bad. I don't know if it still does. I'd like to take a look there, but this is moving from that to the best time of the year, let's face it, the tournament. Anybody in Lawrence, their favorite month is March for obvious reasons.
Not last year.
Got in the room. That is the voice of Kevin Romery. Not last year is right. DJ Wetter. Gary Bedore in the room as well. Andy Sam. I'm Tom Keegan of the Journal World. We got tons to talk about today. Kevin Romery just mentioned last year. Let's talk about the differences. A lot of talk that they're playing loose this year. Let's see if that carries out into the tournament. We'll compare where last year's team was to where this team is now. We'll break down the Oakland Regional, which is, of course, KU is in. We're going to talk about the first-round matchup with Bradley, a potential second-round matchup with Pitt. Talk about the whole Oakland bracket, who are the toughest teams in there. Interesting bracket, not a real tough path for them if you're looking at things a certain way. And we'll get into the bracket in general, the tournament in general, what's the toughest call on the bracket, what are the upset specials, and we'll each have our final four picks.
And we'll give them a little update on Windsor, Canada, in case they're going out to Detroit Rock City and they want to go across the border and have some fun, Tom. We'll talk about
which direction you head to get to Canada, north or south?
You head east.
No, you head south.
And to Canada. But you got to go from Auburn Hills, you got to go way south, actually. Because when you get to the airport, you got to go north to get to Auburn Hills and Detroit, where we're going to be staying for the next 5 days.
And then you go east,
and then you go straight south down 75 down there.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's weird.
I actually was going to go down there, but I've already got a trip booked to Vegas. And so, you know, I didn't want to kill myself in Windsor.
Who are you kidding? You're going to Greensboro to see Wichita State play. We know better.
Hi-o. To be honest, everybody's spring break destination top five is Detroit.
Slash
and now
Windsor.
Just a few of us get to live through that dream
and
over the next 5 days.
Two.
And it's supposed to snow every day. And I think there's snow on the ground when we get there.
Well, let's start off with playing loose. That was a big point of emphasis today. We've known that all year, but why was it so big today? Just kind of everyone struggling for a storyline there?
Well, because it's such a big factor, because there's two things that can work against you when you're the favorite in the tournament. One is overlooking the opponent. Don't think they're going to do that.
Nope.
Last year's fresh enough. Number two is if the tournament arrives and you play tight, because this team hasn't played tight in a while, played a little tight in Austin. So, to me, the bigger concern is, are you going to play tight? All you got to do is look at Julian Wright and his body language and his personality, and then you'll crack up and you ought to be loose.
Well, when you mention tight, I think the Roy teams of the late 90s and the early 90s, well, I guess the mid-90s, when they were really good and had the chance to win a couple of those titles, that was the knock on those teams. They just showed up and played tight. Always more talent, always much better, but then they just showed up and just laid the egg and looked terrible. And the consensus was this team was not loose. There was too much pressure. It was win one for Roy. He's finally got to get one. This is the year. And they just came out and played tight, not like this team has played currently.
Well, and going along with that, they're having fun on the court. Maybe that goes right directly with being loose on the court. But they have a good time playing with each other. They have a good time not playing with each other, just being around each other and enjoying Detroit, I'm sure, when they get down there. They'll have a great time doing that. But they like being on the road.
Stuff to see.
Yeah, something like that.
Pillow fights.
I don't know what we're talking about now. But the other factor is they went down to Dallas. They did three games in 3 days and, you know, struggled probably more in the first game than any of the games and come out of that just fine. They obviously just like going to these tournament settings. They got to win a two-game tournament this weekend. I think they have a pretty good shot to do it because of the way they play.
Well, the playing loose and enjoying each other all goes into what we talked about before the season started, and that is that basically the most talented players on this team are all Bill Self's players. So there was no split loyalty issue, and it's turned out that way. They are definitely a team, and when you enjoy being together, you want to make it last longer than if you don't really enjoy being together.
And Coach Self talked about that, too. They're going along with that point, there's no finality to this. Should they lose in the first or second round, all these guys are likely coming back now. It looks like Russell coming back. You lose Steven Vincent, you lose Christian Moody, you lose Jeff Hawkins, but boy, the parts that have really come together at the end of the year are all going to be back, and so there's no pressure on them. Well, if we lose, it's over. Instead, it's, you know, hey, let's get some experience here. Let's see what happens, and because of that, they might make quite the run.
I think they could make quite the run, and then I wouldn't have worded it maybe quite that way. Quite the run. This is basketball we're talking about.
Fair enough.
But no, it's not fair. It was just a nasty remark from a guy who hasn't had a lot of sleep lately because, as you guys just pointed out...
I'm not going to argue with you semantics. That's all I'm saying. Fair enough. Move on.
When you have an early morning flight, you don't get sleep the night before.
Well, I don't know. You just think about everything you got to do when you wake up.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. I've already been thinking about, all right, make sure we leave at this time so we get there at this time, and then we get on the plane, and we got to make the exchange at Midway, then we get to Detroit, then we get the car, and then Midway? We got to drive to the hotel.
That's why I don't sleep.
Then we got to check in, then we got whatever. And then...
stay up all night.
Then you start working. That's the tough part. Yeah. Tomorrow. You just like to get there, and then you really have to actually do something. You're going through Midway? Place. Yes, we are.
And the awesome part is the game. That's the awesome part and makes it all worthwhile.
And the key to looseness, number one, is I would bet all my worldly possessions, which, you know, insert joke
so
here.
So $6.25 worth of stuff.
I was going to say a couple of hamburgers. But the key to the looseness will be every KU player playing the 8 Mile soundtrack, and they're going to be loose. They're in Detroit. How much
I
do you want
to bet? I just watched that movie, Andy. Yeah. I think the night before the game, forget Glory Road, forget Hoosiers, forget whatever movie you watch to get pumped up. It's 8 Mile because you're right down the road from there, and then you're ready to play some basketball.
And Gary? Is that Gary over there? I can't tell. Tom,
it's Gary Bedore.
They're not going to be loose. They're going to be mad when they see how cold it is up there. They're going to be in for a shock. They'll be having snowball fights instead of pillow fights. So,
but
that's going to have to make them loose this trip.
But they get to play in an NBA arena. That's kind of exciting, right?
Yeah, they'll probably like that. And but you know, they'd much prefer to be somewhere warm, I'm sure.
And you know what? You're not outside though very often, are you? I mean, you go from the team hotel to the team bus, which is right outside. Then you go from the team bus to the arena, which parks right next to the door you enter. Unless you're in, say, the television profession.
I was going
to
say, Tom, you know who is outside?
Your live remote standing outside.
And Kevin, why do you have to go outside
all the time?
It's
freaking freezing.
Why don't you shoot him inside the building, Kevin? Shoot him on the floor.
I wish. CBS. Yeah. CBS did us any favors. We could all shoot those things
inside. So you're not allowed to even get inside the building? Not the concourse? Anything?
Well, you can the concourse, but why do you want a live shot with a concourse or the concourse is the background? You don't want people walking around in a tunnel. You want the arena. You want the arena from the outside, or at least the skyline of Detroit, or something that signifies that you are in the city that you are in.
The stabbing going on down the street.
Yeah. You don't want to be a statistic either, which is going to be tough in Detroit at 11 o'clock. Because
give me that camera.
Eastern time.
We got a lot of Detroit listeners. They love Detroit.
Come on. We're popular there.
Here's might be warmer than it was for the Super Bowl, at least.
I don't know about
that. And that affects me at none at all. But this trip is going to be really cold, and I actually asked Steven that today, and he laughed. I said, isn't your dream spot for spring break your senior year Detroit? And he's like, oh man, we looked at the schedule, all those tropical places, and then we get Detroit.
Hey, they started the year in Hawaii, didn't do too well in that climate. I think they're a cold weather team.
I was gonna say, maybe they're a little more focused. You don't have the beach out there, you don't have the palm trees, you don't have the sun. You want to be inside shooting the free throws, practicing, warming up.
You got Canada.
We got Canada.
An hour south.
Head way south and a little bit east, and you'll be in Windsor.
And what did Gary say? Gary, what did Self say about a little motivation from next year? He wouldn't have to tell the new freshman about what happened last year, right?
You mean about Bucknell?
Yeah, what about Buck?
He said that they're being reminded of it everywhere from the media, so Self doesn't really need to address the Bucknell situation because the media is taking care of that and did take care of that today at the press session. Plus, a lot of the players have been seeing the CBS promo of the NCAA tournament, which is all Bucknell celebrating after Simeon's missed shots. So Bucknell should be interesting. I mean, they have to win and, you know, lose to Bradley, and they're going to see a trend here. So this Bucknell thing, I wonder if Self will address it in the locker room. Like, they were all fired up last week about playing Texas after Texas got to celebrate with
lost
the trophy.
To Bradley, you might be seeing now some sliced wrist back in Lawrence.
Is
back
the motivation going to be to pound the BU, same initials as Bucknell U, Bradley U?
Well, let's not forget the possible Sweet 16 matchup between Bucknell and Kansas, Gary.
Bucknell's not going to get that far.
Oh, you're
They're
kidding
gonna
me.
They're going to lose to Arkansas.
You don't think so?
That's it for Bucknell.
I've got Bucknell in my lead eight.
It's a definitive answer by the definitive source of KU basketball.
What do you think? That's one of the tough calls on the board. I'm with Gary. I have Arkansas beating Bucknell. To me, though,
I have Arkansas. Yeah.
I actually picked Bucknell
just for fun, though.
Just for fun, really. I don't have them beating Memphis, but I figured most people in this town, just being haters, would pick Arkansas.
Yeah.
Even though Arkansas took it to KU earlier this season as well, so
yeah,
you might want those guys to lose in the same situation. You might want Bucknell to lose, but it makes it for a better story if Bucknell wins, right, guys?
Sometimes.
And if anybody knows anything, we're about telling stories, even if we have to make up some of them. And in this case, I'm trying to make one up.
Well, moving to another team that KU lost to during that losing streak they had, Arizona. To me, that's the toughest call on the board, Arizona against Wisconsin. Because don't forget, they lost in succession to Bucknell, Arizona, and Arkansas. But Arizona, an 8, plays Wisconsin, a 9. That's in the Minneapolis region. That game is being played in Philadelphia. To me, toughest call on the board, and I put Arizona in.
I say UAB Kentucky is the toughest first-round matchup.
Tough call.
What about Tennessee Winthrop? I'm struggling with that. And, Tom, we talked about that. If you want a crazy upset, if you get more points for a 15 seed in some crazy pool, take Winthrop because they've got a shot. I kid you not.
Winthrop's not a bad team. No. They went in and beat Marquette in Milwaukee.
Senior lady.
Who hasn't done that?
Come on, UConn. Aha! How's that for an answer? Tennessee, a 2 seed. Bizarre that they're a 2 seed. Yeah, I don't quite figure that one out.
And that feeds right into my bracket. If Winthrop pulls that win off, that allows the door to open to the Sweet 16 for Wichita State.
And I don't mean to be a downer here, Andy, but I got Seton Hall in my Sweet 16, taking out Toss State and Tennessee.
You know, Seton Hall, I'm surprised, got to beat.
Did you?
Got a bid. Wichita State's better than them, I think.
Did you just turn my mic off, Andy?
No.
Can we hear you?
Hello?
Hello?
But that would also probably set up an interesting matchup between Wichita State and Carolina. Gary, seems to be a connection there.
I think, like Kevin said earlier, Roy's team sometimes struggle in the first round, and I bet a lot of the haters will really want Murray State to beat North Carolina.
But what about
that game could be the scare for Roy, the Bucknell KU-type scare. But, no, Wichita State is not going to make it that far. Sorry.
Yeah, if they did, though, and I have Carolina losing to Michigan State, if they did, wouldn't Roy love the attention of having a former player of his?
I don't know, because then you'd have to listen to the soundbite. I do not have any fun in this game. I do not look forward to this. He would just so hate it.
He'd love the attention, wouldn't he?
Maybe he would deep down, but he wouldn't. You wouldn't notice it if you're a media guy or if you're a fan covering this thing. You're like, Roy's just complaining that he feels horrible because he has to knock out and play hard against one of his old players and that are an old KU guy. And
I almost cried.
Yeah, emotion. Yeah, that's exactly what you would get.
Isn't that weird? Wouldn't you be? I'd be like, I do not want to lose to a former player. Let's go kick their butt.
That would be my reaction. He might tell that to the players,
but I don't think he truly feels like that.
I think he'd be. I'm not going to lose to Wichita State.
Yeah,
there's a little anger
game
deep down, isn't there, Gary? Between Shocker fans and.
Oh yeah, yeah. Roy Williams would not play Wichita State anymore because Kansas went down there probably the last time they played, and the Jayhawks checked into a hotel to relax before the game, and all the TV stations were showing highlights of that NCAA tournament game about 50 years ago when the Shockers beat KU. Roy didn't like the people yelling at him in the arena, you know, cussing at him and stuff. Roy would never, ever go back down there to play a game, and I don't think they've scheduled them since then.
Oh, it didn't have anything to do with Roy calling out Wichita State for inappropriate recruiting violations of Maurice Evans? No hatred there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did not like that either, but Roy did not like the bad blood. He did not want another game against the so-called rival where they'd have to go down and claw and scratch and have the other team hate them so much. He didn't need it, he thought, and he didn't want it. And that was it. No more WSU.
Yeah, and I don't think you'll see it anytime soon. I mean, there's really no reason to play a team that like that.
You already get Missouri once a year. Why do you need to have Tall State?
Same colors.
So what do we really know about Bradley? We know that they're coached by Jim Less, a former point guard at Bradley, who played 2 years with Hersey Hawkins, went on to play 6 or 7 years in the NBA. Unconventional path to a Division I head coaching job. Jim Less was a stockbroker after his playing career was over. Stockbroker in Sacramento, and then he helped out with the WNBA team out in Sacramento on a volunteer basis. And then he so wowed the selection committee that he got hired with basically very little coaching experience. But they figured if he can do such a great sell job here, he'll do a great sell job in recruiting. Well, he was on the really on the hot seat coming into this year. He had a losing record at the school in 3 years. He was like 40-49. Mid-season, he finally had it with Marcellus Somerville, their talented guy who was started his career at Iowa and then transferred to JC so that he could come here and have 3 years remaining. And he basically had a meeting and said, you know, I don't care who you are. You take good shots, play smart basketball, or you don't get the minutes. And I guess things basically turned around at that point.
And they won 7 out of 8 down the stretch. They beat the Shockers, beat them for the first time in the year, lost the other two games, won in overtime to get to the MVC title game where they lost pretty handedly to Southern Illinois, but a team that's been hot lately.
And I have a good big man who sometimes disappears in big games the way LaMarcus Aldridge does. Not to say that he's as good as LaMarcus Aldridge. He certainly isn't.
Patrick O'Brien, is that
right.
who you're talking about?
That's who I'm talking about, sophomore.
Yep.
And, you know, he's a talented guy, but to me, if he's a guy who sometimes disappears in big games, that plays into KU's hands because they have so many physical big men that maybe they can throw this guy off his game.
And here's why, if you're a KU fan, I don't think you worry about this Bradley game. Very similar styles, honestly, to a lesser extent from this Mo Valley team and the Bradley Braves. They like to get out and run in transition. They play great field goal percentage defense. They led the Mo Valley Conference in that. I think 35%, something pretty low during the conference season. So they play that very well. KU, of course, led the nation in that throughout the year. And so you see similar matchups, but obviously KU does it on a larger stage more consistently, and I think that's why matchup-wise, pretty good feeling for KU, although Bradley's a good team and might hang around for a while. I think KU matchup-wise does just fine in this game against Patrick O'Brien in Somerville.
Turgeon said today that Bradley was the most athletic team in the Valley, and he thought it would be a great matchup, but Turgeon said KU has too much depth for them, but he said they're the most athletic team in the Valley, so an athletic team is a dangerous team, but I don't think O'Brien will be able to handle all KU's big men, pushing them around and all that.
And I think that this team, this year's KU team, is more upset-proof than last year's team because of their style of play. They like to run up and down, and when you're playing against an opponent that also likes to do that, like Bradley likes to do that, that means there's going to be a lot of possessions in this game, and the more possessions there are in a game, the more you favor the favorite, because if KU and Bucknell last year were to play forever in infinity, KU would have pulled ahead of them and then just really won by a lot, provided that people didn't start dying because you play to infinity.
That's a long time.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Yeah. The more possessions there are in the game, the better that weighs for the favorite.
And let's be honest, as far as the players that matter in this game for Kansas, they didn't experience last year, really. A few of them were there, but the guys that mattered last year are long gone against Bucknell. I felt weird. The seniors came in and asked Steven about the Bucknell thing, and that's when he answered. He's like, yeah, I can't get away from it. I flip it on, and there's CBS. And asked, I think, a Christian the same thing, right, about Bucknell, and of course he had a few things to say. And then I just felt like a dope even bringing it up to Mario. My question to him was, where were you last year when Kansas lost to Bucknell? Do you remember it? Was it a deal? And he's like, I had a game that night, so I just kind of got home and saw the score, and I was really surprised. So, those guys, they see it on there, and they've obviously seen the commercials, but they're so far away from really what happened last year that I don't think it's going to have any impact at all.
I asked Brandon the same question. Where were you? He said somewhere in North Carolina. I didn't watch the game.
No idea, no record. All of us can probably remember where we were, but none of those guys can.
Well, I can't really tell you where I was, but, confidentiality.
Jumping off the bridge over here, weren't you, when Chris McNaughton threw that thing off the glass?
Hey, but let's face it.
Wait.
First-round losses for KU don't happen very often. Before that, 1978, I wasn't even born yet. Well,
your birth certificate says you weren't born. You and Danny Almonte.
Daniel.
A little World Series. Now, quick story, though. I was in London, England, actually, when they lost to Bucknell last year on the slowest computer in the world, and it loaded just like line by line.
Ooh.
And I was like, no. And then the picture kept coming down. No way. And then it was like next game for KU. It was KUSports.com, and it was like the spring game for KU football. No. And it finally loaded 20 minutes later, and I was just – I could not believe it. So, that's a rough spot. But obviously the freshmen don't know where they were. Funny story, though, with Bradley and KU as far as upsets, although it wasn't an upset at the time. Back in 1950, Bradley, not KU, out of the NCAA tournament. So some bad blood there probably, don't you think, Tom?
because a lot of those players.
Where were you in 1950?
Thinking about
speaking
that.
Of guys that mattered during certain games.
Exactly.
They had a big scandal right around then, Bradley.
Because they won didn't they win the tournament in 51 or something? And then they, something
Wasn't
happened.
That the City College of New York thing, too? Didn't they have some scandal back
around
that time?
Oh, yeah, they had a big one. Bill Mayer just sent me all the info on the scandal, and going to look at that, and we'll probably have that somewhere in our immense coverage, which will include Spodcasters after each game, so that you can listen to it the next morning when you go into
work. We hope, if modern technology comes through.
We have faith in modern technology.
Is there a possibility then the win, Bradley's win over KU, was stripped away in some controversy? Did they have to take their banner down? You need to find that out.
No, I do need to find that because that's important to Brandon Rush.
Well, Julian Wright's not sleeping tonight thinking about that last time KU lost to Bradley.
Now, there's a guy who will commit three turnovers in the first minute of the tournament, and then you're just going to love him by the end of the first game.
His dunks are ridiculous.
His passes are more ridiculous.
His answers after questions might be the most ridiculous.
Which one?
You gotta love
him. He covers everything.
Oh, he does. He's just awesome.
One
just
question answers everything you need. Julian, you played basketball today. Please respond. 5 minutes later, you're done. Questions are over. No more.
No, you know what it's like? It's like he just won an Oscar and he's given his acceptance speech. Every time you ask him a question, he wants to thank everybody.
We need to take music with us when he's in there.
Just play the natural behind him while he's giving his answer.
We get him to wrap it up so we can ask another question. Wow,
what a great guy, though. What a
best interview, guy. You know, you were the first one to say this, Romery, and I have come around to agree with you. Russell Robinson's the best interview on this team because he really knows how to break it down, how to analyze it. And he doesn't think he just answers the questions,
and
very honestly.
And he doesn't go on and on and on. He wraps it up.
Yes.
He just gives you one or two thoughts, and then bang, he moves on to the next thing.
And yeah, Brandon's the most fun interview.
Yeah,
he's
pound
better
for pound
for
the
print.
Best quote right there.
Yeah, he's better for print than for TV. Gets a little nervous with the TV on, I think.
Agreed.
But Russell gives you great stuff. Mario is getting better. Kind of quiet, though.
A little bit quiet still. A little shy. Not on the court, obviously, but with the mic. And if I was 19 years old and had five cameras in my face and four riders standing around, I'd probably be a little nervous too.
You wouldn't. You'd love it.
Not when I was 19.
Well, hey, let's look at this Oakland Regional, maybe the other half of it. What surprised you? What stands out? What do you guys think?
Well, you know, I hear a lot of this talk about Gonzaga not being that good. It's Gonzaga. I almost screwed up there.
The Zags, right?
Nevada, Gonzaga. Nevada, Gonzaga. That's how you remember. And I don't buy it. You know, I understand that they're squeaking by these teams who aren't very good in their conference, but maybe it's hard for them to get up for their conference now. They've got talent. They got two really, really good players, and Rivio's not a bad guard.
I think the problem with Gonzaga, at least from my standpoint, is that they go so long without playing really good competition that when they finally run into one of these top teams, it takes them about a half or so to really get back into the game. It's like when KU stepped up and played against Texas. Kansas hadn't played one of those top 10, you know, tier teams in a long time. Then Kansas goes in there and really goes toe-to-toe with somebody, and they're not ready for it because it's been a long time. Not to say that the Jayhawks didn't have the talent to match up, but they just weren't ready for it. Well, fast forward 3 weeks later, Kansas obviously was much more prepared because it had been in that game and been in that environment. I think the problem that Gonzaga has is it's been so long since they've been in that environment, and they've been under the microscope, and they find one of these top teams with the big-time players on the other side. They're just as talented. It's just been so long since they've played in one of those games that they're a little bit taken off guard and really not quite ready until the second half, and by that time it's too late.
In the second round, that team could be Indiana.
Exactly. The funny thing about Gonzaga is that everybody's down on them, and they didn't lose a game. I mean, they won their tournament, although they didn't play well. They won a lot of close games, but you got to give them credit for winning the close game.
Knowing how to win.
What?
Knowing how to win,
right? Oh, exactly.
Right?
I said no, not a win. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. They know how to win, and no matter what the competition is, they play down to it a little bit, but they also play up. I mean, that Michigan State game and the Maui Invitational was ridiculous, and a lot of people are high on Michigan State, including Kevin Romery. That being said, I have Indiana knocking off Gonzaga.
And then Indiana coach Mike Davis, after he wins it all, he's going to go to the league.
That's true. He got interviewed this week. I was reading some of the stuff Davis was saying. He's talking about it would be great to go out on top. And you'd think they were a favorite for the tournament, some of the quotes this guy has.
He's really milking this
thing,
isn't
man,
he?
He's loving it.
He's a little out there.
A little bit.
Well, it's great. He can get away with that stuff. Now, you can say anything.
Yeah,
what are you
going to
do, get fired? I mean, you can unleash anything, any thought, anything you might hide to yourself. You can either say, no, we're just better than them, or no, they're better than us. Anything you want to say. You can say it.
You know what else you can say if you're Mike Davis? We're a heck of a lot better than Texas Tech. They're not even in the tournament.
He might say that.
There's an opening, Mr. Knight. Would you like to return?
Maybe. Oh. It's either Knight or Alford.
No chance.
Steve Alford will be the next coach.
He will.
Do you really
be.
Say no chance with Knight to Indiana?
I think the administration there and the faculty would go nuts after everything that went down there. I think that's the problem.
And what would O'Reilly
New
Auto Parts do?
Why,
they can't just switch.
They just
their
can't take the patch off a nice Texas Tech shirt and put it on the Indiana shirt. Although the shirts are the same color,
I won't have it.
I was looking at that 10-7 matchup, and I can't take the 7 of that at all.
State, come on.
Marquette, Alabama?
Yeah.
I'm taking Marquette there, and I'm taking Marquette against UCLA, and it's because I'm totally
surprised. I saw that coming a mile away.
Homer in the house.
I actually, with that same logic, chose Bama just to piss you off, Tom. So, for what it's worth.
It's worth a lot because...
For those that are just joining the Spodcasters, Mr. Keegan would be an alumni of Marquette.
Oh.
1981 grad, 2 sons there now, 2 nephews, 2 nieces, 2 brothers graduated from there, and a sister.
It's changed so many times.
Is it the Warriors? Is it the Gold?
I don't know.
Oh,
what is
it's
it?
The Golden Eagles.
Oh, that cat's nice.
One of 8 billion teams with the Golden Eagles mascot.
They're kind of a dangerous team, though, aren't they? I mean, they really are. They're playing better basketball right now this time of year, and they might upset a UCLA.
They could. Steve Novak's a tough matchup for anybody because he can just keep you guard him. He'll just back up a few steps and hit it. He's got unbelievable range, as good a range as anybody in the country. Dominique James made the Rivals.com first team freshman All-American, as did Brandon Rush.
So, teammates. Who knew? They'd be teammates.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, but I like Gonzaga playing against Memphis after Memphis beats Kansas in double overtime. Mm. And Memphis beating Gonzaga to go to the Final Four. My Final Four, Duke, Memphis, Michigan State, Boston College, with Duke defeating Boston College in a rematch of the ACC title game.
Would, wow. Would he be a basketball coach if he won that title?
Now, I don't really consider myself a basketball coach.
The coach of men.
Leader. Okay, I hope KU's in the Final Four. Just you can ask Coach K a question that's something along the lines of that.
Yeah. Do you consider yourself a basketball coach?
No. I want you to voice it the right way. I want to hear, Coach.
Do you consider yourself a basketball coach or more of a leader of men?
I will. That will be on tape and file with us forever.
It'll be even better when Romery busts out laughing the minute what's going on here?
Hey, I ran into Krzyzewski in Vegas once. Surprise, surprise. But he's actually pretty well built, so you might be in for it, Tom.
How many Division I schools are there? 334? My guess is if I were to get into a fight against each Division I college basketball coach, my record would be 0-334. These guys were all college basketball players. They all... You know, they have endorsement deals where they have to stay in a decent shape.
Could you have taken Rick Majerus in his prime?
No way.
No.
Rick is quicker than you think. For a guy
how do you know that?
One big guy calling out another.
I saw him play in practice with when he was an assistant coach at Marquette.
You take it to the rack?
He didn't take it to the rack, but he was quicker
than
he
did. Did he take it to the rack like Tom Keegan took DJ Wetter?
Ooh, talking about that. Fond memory, man. Left my hand. Final basketball fond memory.
Somebody called Glass.
I would have liked more than 10 to 11 points in that game. Huh?
I would have liked my chances against Turgeon, but now he's living where I did, and he's picked up all the tricks, so there's no way, you know.
Turge?
Yeah. He's put a few moves down there.
He's more tall eyes than you are. You're away from it.
Gary, what do you got for your Final Four?
I was just looking at this thing, and for this official Spodcaster, I picked most of the favorites. I'll have to do a bracket later and do my normal upset bracket. But
that's no fun if you're being different.
Well, you can't be too wild or, you know, and get them all wrong. I think Duke has an easy path to the Final Four, but Iowa's a sleeper team. Not, you know, they're a great team, but don't be surprised if they sneak in there. Memphis, easy in their bracket. UConn's a great team, their bracket, and the only... Number 2 seed, Ohio State, making it instead of Nova. I really like Nova. I agreed with Tom. You didn't say their coach should be coach of the year, did you? I think Self said that for Jay Wright. Nova always has key injuries. He's a great guy. Remember they had that near plane crash last year. If Kansas can't win it, my favorite coach in the country would be Nova. Go Nova. But I got Duke beating UConn. Coach K once again wins it, and everybody just pukes.
Count me in there.
Those were some boring picks until that comment.
As he does his thing, it's going to be sickening, but the Dukies are all happy. And Vitale, I love Vitale, by the way, but he's going to be all happy too. So Duke
breakdown. Break down Memphis real quick. The Oakland bracket. What happens to that? How does Memphis win that? Who do they play to get in?
I think Arkansas will beat Bucknell, so they'll beat them. And then they'll play Kansas. You know, Calipari has more talent, I think, a little bit more talent. And then I like Indiana to beat Gonzaga. UCLA to beat Marquette, but if Marquette gets by Alabama, UCLA should be worried.
There's no question.
I like them
though,
better
about
in that
if.
Game than I do against Alabama. And then Indiana loses to Memphis.
Pure Farley factor alone, they're getting past Alabama.
Farley, Chris Farley. Met him once.
Does Tom
wasn't
think,
impressed.
Is there any way
really?
Marquette no. could lose to Alabama?
Not a nice guy.
Who would want to fight? Rick Majerus or Chris Farley?
Hey, no? Talk about quick feet. Farley had some quick feet.
Majerus would win a fight with Chris Farley.
In their prime.
Chris Farley, I'll tell you the quick Chris Farley story.
Please do.
My brother-in-law's brother had a bachelor party, and they rented some Legion Hall or something, and there was free food and beer. So my brother-in-law and I weaseled our way into the party, and Chris Farley was part of that group of 8 or 9 guys, and he shows up. And yet all the other guys were talking about, remember we did this in college, remember we did that. All he was talking about was his Saturday Night Live cast. And then he went over to a picnic table inside this bar or Legion Hall or whatever it was and passed out. And took like 8 guys to move him, you know, to move him out to a car and drive him to his hotel. You know, he did survive that night, but
he didn't survive too many others.
No.
And there were many
I
more
never
like
saw
that.
Danny Boy, believe it or not. Heard it's a great film.
Tommy Boy.
No wonder. I kept looking for Danny
that's
Boy.
That's the Danny Manning
story. That's a story about a dog.
No wonder. You know, I saw Tommy Boy on the marquee, but I was looking for Danny Boy.
Danny
Boy. Man, Marquette admissions right now is flipping the switch everywhere.
So when you see Tom Keegan's bracket online, don't go with his picks.
Go with the delete button.
Yeah,
that would if I saw that scene, that would make him my hero. But let's go to Romer's picks.
I thought I was going away from UConn because I thought everybody else was doing that. But now following up these hosers, I went with Duke too. I got Duke coming out of that Atlanta bracket over West Virginia, believe it or not. I like a rematch between WVU and UT like they played in Kansas City so long ago. And then, you know, like Tom, I'm a homer. I got the Jayhawks in the Final Four. I think KU gets through that bracket. I like that bracket with the exception of that second round game, and I think a lot of us had mentioned that with Pitt and KU.
Tom took Memphis.
Yeah, in double overtime. If it does go double OT and it's in Oakland, KU better not have that late game because if it is, we are never – going to sleep that night on the West Coast.
You better not sleep in Oakland anyway.
I know. Sleep on your back, boys. Don't sleep on your stomach. Washington, D.C. bracket. I like Michigan State. I think that's a team that doesn't have to be good going into the tournament. We've seen it so many times. I think UNC is young. I think Tennessee is bad. I like Michigan State to upset UConn and get to the Final Four.
Wow, we both have them in the Final Four.
And then I like Villanova in the other. And then I got Duke and Nova in the final. And then... like Gary said, I hate to steal the line, but puke with Duke, 84-72. And I think Coach K maybe has the best team in the nation again because he's probably got two of the best, if not the two best players in the nation.
And Izzo could be the best NCAA tournament coach. Who knows? I mean, what, they win 4 in 7, 8 years there? I mean, to get to the Final Four.
Get to the Final Four. Yeah, it's amazing. And all year long, you're wondering, why isn't this
and they've
team
got
better?
Great
but it
players.
Will be
and
now.
Great they've talent, got, they've probably got more McDonald's. I'd have to add them up, but how many Mickey D's guys do they have?
Shannon Brown,
Brown's
certainly.
One.
Ager.
Ager's one. Paul Davis was
Paul
one.
Davis.
I mean, they're just loaded with different guys.
Plus, they got a good tight end, Trannan. Might be an NFL tight end.
It's true.
And
quick,
a cool
quick
color,
first step.
If you like green.
And a cool color if you like green.
Let's all right. One team on this bracket has – this is an easy question – 3 sons of famous fathers. What team is that?
Montana.
The same team?
Yeah, all on the same team.
All on the same team.
Turgeon?
No.
Sons of
Montana.
Fathers?
It's not Montana.
Give up?
Hmm.
It's in the Minneapolis bracket.
Montana.
Florida.
It's Florida.
Florida. Yannick Noah's son. Yannick Noah married Miss Sweden.
That's right.
And
he's doing
son,
all right.
Joachim is
Yannick was always pretty cool dude anyway.
And the kid looks like a cool guy.
Yeah.
That's one. Tito Horford's son. How old does
Tito
that make
who?
Everybody feel? Well, I guess you're not old enough to remember.
I don't know who
Tito.
That is. So.
You know what?
Andy Sam and
he's
I feel pretty young.
Part of the Jackson 5. Come on, guys.
Tito Horford, the former
Tito?
NBA center.
Right? Jackson. Nobody followed me with that joke.
Torian Green is Sidney Green's son. Do you guys remember Sidney Green?
I know Sidney Moncrief.
Wow.
Gary, you remember all these guys? Gary Bedore?
I can't play Sidney Green right now. I'm thinking of Sidney
UNLV.
Lowe. Sidney Lowe. Who's Sidney Green?
Sidney Green, UNLV superstar, and then he played with the Bulls. Was Poitier? A disappointment as a pro.
Yeah, that's Poitier? Who I was thinking of, too.
Poitier? You guys are all thinking of Miss Sweden.
I know, obviously, Yannick Noah.
Yeah.
That's my homeboy.
I heard Miss Sweden.
little tournament.
I bet a lot of people out there don't know that I'm actually Swedish.
It is true. If you saw you in person, they would guess that immediately.
Yeah, that's true.
Nordic.
Strange black hair might be a confusing thing.
You scream Nordic.
All right, what do you got for us, your final four?
I'll tell you what I got for you, Andy Sams.
I'm listening.
Well, thank you, sir. We'll start with the Atlanta bracket. I like Duke advancing to the Elite Eight, but they meet up with a Texas Longhorn team that plays like it did against Kansas and Austin. And Texas advances to the Final Four out of Atlanta. Texas is going to have to face Cali and Iowa on the road there after they knock off Penn from the Ivy League. That shouldn't be a problem. So Texas makes it to the Final Four. Move on to the Oakland bracket. I like Memphis advancing as well. They meet Kansas. I think that's a close game, but I think everybody's down on Memphis. They're a good squad. They've only lost three times and lost to three pretty good teams. So I think they make it in and they get to the Final Four, get that rematch with Texas, one of those teams they lost to. They play UCLA to get there. My upset in that bracket, though, Indiana advances to play UCLA. I think the Zags out in the second round. Over in the D.C. bracket, I like UConn. UConn goes through Kentucky, Illinois at one point, and then they're going to play UNC, North Carolina. I know everybody hates that pick out there as the Kansas fans, but I think the young Tar Heels make a pretty good run at it. Miss out, though, there on the Elite Eight. And then I take BC with Tom Keegan. I like the Boston College Eagles. I think they'll make it to the Final Four. They looked like a good team, played some good ball against Duke this year, did some good things, and they'll play Florida, though, in the Elite Eight. I like Florida at the 3 seed, making a run over Ohio State and meeting in the Elite Eight. So BC, UConn, Texas, Memphis. I like UConn knocking off BC there. I like Texas taking it to Memphis once again, and UConn, your national champion, 65-60 winner over the Longhorns.
Deliberate game there.
This is the sound of me changing my bracket because it's the final is the same as you. I don't want that, so I will put in Wichita State in the Final Four. Wichita Nova play. And actually, I had Texas UConn in the finals.
You got Texas UConn in the final too.
But I'm going to have to go the opposite way. The unprecedented triple crown for the Longhorns. Don't want to say it, but
that would be amazing.
That'd be a hell of a year, wouldn't it?
I mean, seriously, that would be unbelievable.
That'd be a hell of a year.
You said hook 'em horns.
You can't say pissed either.
Nobody did.
FCC is not listening. So I had Kansas and
glad Gary and I are keeping it clean.
I had Nova on the other side. That's the question.
All right, here's a question for you. Who's, to you guys, and we've talked about this in the past, so you probably will remember this. What team matches is the most similar to Kansas in terms of its experience level, its athletic level, its talent level, its coaching level? There's one team out there.
North Carolina.
Memphis,
that's what I was thinking, too. Kansas plays UCLA, UCLA plays pretty good defense in a league that, you know, typically is a high-scoring league out there in the Pac-10.
They don't play good I don't buy that. They play no one. That's what they play. Defense looks pretty good when the Pac-10 is as down as it is.
Can't shoot deep. Yeah. Good.
My defense would be great if I played Arizona every night. Those guys.
You know, why didn't the tournament committee have the foresight to, well, it wouldn't have worked this year, but some year if there's a 4 and a 5, Kansas and North Carolina, they got to have them playing a second-round matchup. Do they not think of our angles?
Usually they do. There's usually some story.
What are you talking
somewhere.
About? They put Bucknell in that bracket.
That's pretty darn close.
Sweet 16, baby.
There you go. Bucknell would have to. I don't think Bucknell.
Think about the buildup for that game, though, if it did happen, at least in our media market.
I think nationally. UNC, that was
Kansas?
A huge national story. Oh, yeah. Because it came right after the Vermont Syracuse game. That was, I think, if that'd be the number one rated game in the country, I bet, if Bucknell played Kansas. And they would have to beat. First of all, they'd have to beat Arkansas.
And Memphis, probably.
Oral Roberts.
Yeah.
Coach Sutton. Sutton's going to be in the Sweet 16. Just not Memphis. The one we thought.
Yeah, Oral Roberts coach,
What about an upset special? Let's all go around the table and give us the upset pick.
For the first round?
First round.
First round upset special, and this is kind of disappointing, Weasley first round upset special because it's a 5-12. I'm not going to go.
I would expect it no other way from you, Tom.
A ballistic. Weasley. But I'm going to go Texas A&M over Syracuse.
I'm down with that. I like the Aggies, and I like the Aggies not only Texas A&M, but Utah State. I think we agree. They're the Aggies, right? Is that right?
Yes, they are.
No, that's right.
I kind of like Utah State.
So nice you'll take them twice.
To knock off Washington, and this goes back to your ripping DJ on the Pac-10. Because I don't like them, quite frankly. And I saw Utah State play one night on Big Monday at about 11, that game that's after the Big 12 game. And, yeah, I don't know anything about them. But we do know that Utah State almost did what to KU a couple years ago?
They did a 3 that would have.
I mean, the team can play, and so I like the Aggies in those two situations.
Hey, Gary, since you didn't even pick an underdog on your bracket, who would you go with if you had to?
I'd have Nevada going to the Elite Eight if I had some guts here. I think Nevada has
on a roll today.
I like Nevada, but take Iona over LSU as the. Is that who plays? Iona over LSU.
They do play.
Which is your upset? Even though I didn't pick it.
I'd stay in that bracket in Atlanta, but I like Northwestern State over Iowa, the Hawkeyes.
I've actually got two, so I'll just throw them both out there. Iona over the LSU. Gales. Yes, the Gales. And
so you're stealing from Jeebs now?
Did you just pick? I don't even know what
you're
saying.
Are you paying attention? What's going on here? That was like 8 seconds ago.
I blacked out. And I'll take Winthrop over Tennessee, which allows my Shockers to
that's
get
wild.
A Sweet 2
16. And a 15. But if there's going to be a 2-15, this
ask
one will be it.
Ask Iowa Syracuse.
Is this the year that a 16 finally gets a 1?
No.
When will that ever
never.
Happen?
It'll
will
happen.
It ever never. Happen?
No,
Holy Cross
even if you
did.
Play that game to affinity. Like,
that being said, Oral Roberts, that's a pretty good 16 seed. I mean, they play in a decent conference.
They did well early in the year.
Beat UMKC, the Roos.
They did well in Alaska. They beat some decent team, I think, in Alaska.
I think it'll happen the next 5 years. You saw a couple years back, Holy Cross almost beat Kansas. They were with them all the way down the stretch.
I was at that game covering it for the New York Post.
Yeah. What was going to be the headline if Holy Cross had won?
Holy
what?
Yeah.
Well, we talked about that that night. We kept thinking, what is going to be the tagline on this one? What can we get away with?
You know, I could call the Post, and I bet that they had one ready to go. So in our next podcasters, I'll see if Pat Hannigan, the guy who writes those headlines, can tell me what it would have been.
Holy something.
Oh, yeah.
What can you get away with? That's the question.
Moly. Holy moly.
What rhymes with cross? That's how you do these headlines. Think. What rhymes with cross?
Holy frosh. Were there any good freshmen on that team?
Holy moss.
Holy upset. No.
That's
that
pretty
didn't
weak.
Rhyme very good.
No.
That was rhyming over here.
Bad.
Mine's bad, but they rhyme.
Had I not been in college, I probably would have said holy moly, but instead I just put some scribbles.
Some asterisks.
Exclamation
and
points.
And an S somewhere in there, I don't know.
Hey, speaking of upsets, that Kent State-Pittsburgh matchup, because that's a potential, has some bearings, obviously, for Kansas should they get by Bradley. Any chance Kent State moves on? They've pulled upsets a couple years. A couple years back, was it? They had a little run?
Yeah, and that got a
job
for. Sweet
16,
for,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that got no. They went to the Elite Eight, actually. I think
did they?
I thought they did. Did they? And they that got
his brothers
echo.
That got the coach a job at Arkansas.
Yeah, UW Milwaukee also a candidate out there against OU. Probably people are going to take that one.
So Kent State beats Pittsburgh.
No,
no.
That's what happened.
Ah, you're wishful thinking there. You want that second round game for the Jayhawks?
No, I don't want to play Kent State. Bring on the Panthers.
I think that the Jayhawks beat the Panthers. I've seen the Panthers probably three times this year. Great rebounding team, and they Kansas just can't let them dominate the boards the way Texas did in the first matchup. Otherwise, they will lose. But if Carl Krauser, who I think is not as good a shooter as he thinks he is taking a lot of threes and is not having one of those wild nights, I like Kansas's chances in that game.
And they've got that Gray kid. What, he's what, 7'9"?
Aaron Gray, yeah. 7'9", 280.
Weak. That guy's weak. Sasha Khan.
He's gotten a lot better.
Nah.
He
I watched
has gotten
him in the Syracuse
a lot
game.
Better.
Well, he must have been horrible then, because I watched him in the Syracuse game, and I was not impressed. I think.
Did he have a bad game?
Yeah. Well, he's tall. He had a decent game. He's tall. You ought to score 15 if you're that
can't
tall.
Teach height.
Did you but say, I think Sasha Khan punches
what
him.
What grade are we talking about, Taj Gray?
Aaron Gray.
Oh.
No.
Actually, I'd take OU to the Sweet 16. They haven't done much this year. Why not do it now?
I had them. Well, you know, sometimes you see teams like that expected to do a lot who don't, and then in the tournament comes around.
They got a couple good shooters.
OU does play that style that I don't think they're going to get blown out.
Yeah.
No matter who they play.
And if it's a close game,
they're going to stick around. You get frustrated with the way they play defense. If you're a team that hasn't seen defense like that this year, kind of freak out. You get to that 10-minute mark, you look up at the scoreboard and realize you're down by 5-6 points. And if you're down to Oklahoma by 5 or 6, that's not just a 20 seconds period there where you hit a three, get a steal, knock it down. That's about a 2-minute deal. I mean, trying to come back 2 or 3 possessions against OU is tough.
Okay, you did it.
They did.
But they got a couple good shooters on that team that could, you know, if they are down in that situation, could easily come right back. So,
can we wrap it up? Because there's a showing this evening of Danny Boy I wanted to catch.
Can you?
We'll rent that one.
Where do they rent that exactly?
I believe that's
online
in the adult section.
Danny Boy, go behind a curtain to get Danny.
Chris
Boy.
Farley.
Carrie Farley.
Are you
going
to pick a fan email to read again today?
Oh, yeah, we need a spot. Yeah.
I wanted to make a request to Bradley fans because no one has the answer to this question. Email me at gbedard@ljworld.com. Does Bradley have a new arena? I once was an usher at Bradley's old arena. I went to Peoria with Tom Folk, a friend of mine. He got me in line. He said, "You're going to be an usher tonight." I earned $30. Didn't know where to direct the people, but I want to know if that arena still stands. Does Bradley have a new arena? Email me. Let me know.
Carver Arena, part of the Civic Center. I don't believe it's new.
Do you assume Bradley fans are listening then?
That's what I'm trying to check. We've got to check the audience out here. Let's see if
that's
there's
a good
Bradley.
Idea. Are there Bradley fans looking for our insight so they can pass it on to Jim Les?
But we'll now know because Bradley fans will want to help me out with that.
I'm not sure our listeners have teeth. Brains, if you're listening to us. I love them for listening, but we're not the most educated guys on the planet Earth.
Speak for yourself. I graduated top of the class in KU journalism.
I hang out with you guys all the time.
I did.
These guys are
number one.
These guys are tooting their horns way too
much. I got
a
sticker. It says so.
And all
what was your GPA?
It was a 4.0.
Holy cow. Let's hear it for DJ Wetter.
Boo.
Look at me.
Book smarts don't always translate
back
into the street.
I know.
Street smarts.
That's why Romery's going to fire me tomorrow. No, he's not going to fire me until the tournament's over. He knows
that's
better.
That's okay. He loses.
Yeah, exactly. And a shout-out to, what was it, G Singer or D Singer? I apologize. That was a spot backer like 3 weeks ago. I owe him a T-shirt.
And he's not going to be the triple crown.
He's not
like
the
Texas
triple crown winner, but I still owe him a T-shirt, and it's in the works. Once the Jays are out, I'll do
you
that.
You got the all macaroni right and glue out?
Yeah.
Make that T-shirt.
Viper Blue is our spot backer of the week. Viper Blue. Sounds kind of scary.
I don't know.
Oh, it's Robert Greenwood from Virginia. Class of 86. All right. Never mind. But he's Viper Blue.
He went through
here
a painful Final Four. Go ahead.
He did. Class of 86. That's true. All
it's
right.
In Dallas.
Last year, I promised myself that I would not pick KU to go to the Final Four this year. I would be more objective and force myself to use my head and not my heart. He's speaking to me right here. That seemed a pretty easy promise to keep watching the hatchling Hawks floundering in Maui. I guess you would hope for it with such a young team, but it is remarkable that players have emerged as leaders, not because another player is a funk so much as they just continue to raise the level of their game more and more. Texas may have been their best game of the year, but now that they played at that level, I skipped a paragraph here and it makes no sense, Andy Sam. Can I read that middle paragraph?
Why are you looking at me?
You're the 4.0 at Kansas guy. I think you ought to know how to
let
read.
Let me reiterate.
Pretty easy to figure. I gotta reiterate what I said before he started this thing right here. We're really not that intelligent. We appreciate you for listening.
Fair enough.
DJ Wetter, prove us wrong.
Well, I didn't read the second paragraph because I was told not to. The second paragraph.
In English, you go each paragraph in
stop
order.
Stop.
Is this guy going to get to his point?
Yeah, he is. That seemed a pretty easy promise not to pick KU. And then he says, but I think Tom makes a great point about this team.
Now I know why you skipped it.
Brandon was clearly the MVP of the pre-conference season. Mario was the MVP of the Big 12 conference season. Russell is the heart and soul of this team. In the Big 12 tournament, Mario, Sasha, or Julian could have been the MVP. Now we go to the third paragraph. I guess you would hope
I'm fine. That was the point I wanted to get to. Right.
Whatever. So he goes on and on. Texas may have been their best game of the year, but now that they have played at that level, there's no reason to think that their best game of the season may still be ahead of them. Looking around the West bracket, who plays the best defense? Who has the best guards? Who has a bunch of fouls to give in the post?
Pre-show.
Who has been the hottest team in the past 10 games?
Can I get an amen?
Who has the best coach in the nation? My head is
Memphis?
Saying KU. He's not
Hallelujah.
Even speaking with his heart. He says, my head is saying KU.
Well, I voted self.
Robert Greenwood, Burke, Virginia. Berkey, Virginia, I apologize. Class of 86. Viper Blue.
Good email. Viper Blue.
Wasn't that the play on Chappelle Show there?
No, that was coming
computer
to America.
Blue.
Computer Blue, my bad.
I'm keeping it real. It goes the, wrong.
What?
Yeah.
Like all right, spot backing
Randy
goes
Watson.
Wrong.
Any last comments around the horn there, Tom?
I'll treat you all to Danny Boy.
G Bizzle.
Let's have fun in Detroit, boys, and bring back a winner.
Winter coat.
Pack the gloves, boys. Pack the gloves and bring Danny Boy with you.
Andy, throw me a pound out because we'll be here in Lawrence, Kansas, holding down the fort.
Actually, I'm going to do the next podcasters from Windsor, Ontario, so I'll see you there.
I'm coming with you then. Peace.